Jake, what's happening? Good
Hey,
morning.
how are you today?
I'm outstanding. I am just my coming off a big weekend. As you know, my world spring baseball started. My kid, my youngest, they won a championship. It was awesome. And in the journey of like youth baseball and the journey of baseball, you have a lot of dynamics. And today brings me to my point. Conflict resolution. Going into this weekend, I was a little bit nervous about how my son's enthusiasm was because, as a parent, you always wonder, hey, are you still into this? Are you not into it? You seem a little off. Am I overparenting? Or am I just observing something too much? Or chances are maybe the kid's just off, So when we're in business, and or like partnerships or customer to business relationships, that conflict resolution, right? And then when you have that conflict and you resolve it, then there's that weirdness, right? I'd like to get into the depth today on how to move through the weirdness, blow the cloud out. Let's talk conflict resolution and let's empower the audience here on tools and strategies and things they can just do right now when they get done watching this on how to better themselves at conflict resolution. All right. So when I framed it up that way, I meant I was worried about my son's representation to the team and coaches. I was worried about my representation to my son to the team. I had a lot of conflicts that got resolved through some simple enthusiasm and some performance, right? So to me, fresh off the till, I'm looking at that as one strategy for solutions. And then that also, the win wipes away the surface awkwardness. Okay. So when I'm talking about all this, where are you with all, where are you when you hear all this?
I'm stoked that he won the championship. That's super awesome. We got to love that and celebrate that a little bit.
Big battles too. Big
Yeah.
battles. Not easy.
Oh yeah. And it always is. So like while Mike was out at baseball, at one point it was miserable outside, so I decided I needed to watch one of my favorite movies this weekend, oddly enough, Moneyball. Love that movie. It is a lot of people think that movie's about baseball. Would you tend to agree with that? I'm sure the audience would think, well, yeah, Moneyball is about baseball. It's not.
I think
Baseball's
everyone.
the storyline, but it's not about baseball. Moneyball itself, in my opinion, we're going to get calls. Cool. Put your comments in there. Like, share, subscribe, do all the things. Come challenge me, do the thing. Go for broke. In
Yeah.
my opinion, Moneyball is about conflict management and it's about conflict resolution. That's what this base of this movie is for. Because you're looking at Billy Bean, you're looking at a guy who got drafted, first round draft pick to the Mets, and then proceeded to just crash and burn through baseball as a professional, all the way to the point to where he made the decision to step out, become a recruiter, and eventually become a general manager of a baseball team. And then, then that's where the movie starts, right? During this process of Moneyball, and I'm going deep into this movie on this one today, there's some other spaces, but relative to what we look at, there was a pre-ordained, if you will, almost in an evangelistic way, that recruiting in baseball occurred. By and large, up until this moment, up until this happened, it went a certain way. This is how everybody did it. Everybody did it. It was a popularity contest. You threw money at the guys that, looked like they might succeed. Some of the recruiters got it right. Some of the recruiters got it wrong. And then we bring in Pete. Pete brings in a data formula that changes the rules, and everybody hates it. Hates it. Every team, like, you got people busting on them, they're crashing and burning, they're doing stupid stuff, and it and here's the conflict. And there's a space in there, and of course Brad Pitt plays the character. He's talking to Pete and he says, you don't need to apologize to anybody for anything that we're doing here. You have to get past that. And that came to a belief spot. Now here's where I'm going with all this. Long story, we'd love to say short, but you guys know me better than that.
No,
The
ain't happening.
point, yeah, the point of when you get to conflict is because the expectations were not set correctly in the first place. That's almost every time we can, if you unpack a conflict, you will go back in time. If you unpack it before the timeline, at some point, an expectation was inappropriately set, incorrectly set, not built correctly. You know, if you look at Moneyball, he did not have a conversation with Art. He did not have a conversation with the team owners. He didn't talk to the recruiters. He just marched down this road. This is the way that we're going to go. Everybody freaked out. And at one point, he has a conversation with Art, who is he's actually coaching the team on the field, and says, "Hey, I should have let you know what our plan was. I should have had that conversation," but they were already well down the road of conflict. So I use that as the example, right? And to simply say, when we get to a conflict, we got to unpack it back to what the original expectation was. You got to go backwards. Because if you just sit in conflict, you just sit here and you do this, you're going to keep sitting here and doing this until you stop, reset it, go backwards of what did we originally want to do? What was the plan? What, Mike, what did you hear originally? What did you see? What did we write down? What did you understand? We have got to get to understanding of where we started and where we both wanted to go.
Okay.
How's that long 6-minute dissertation for you on pulling a Moneyball move?
That was good. Where's that streaming, by the way? I want to watch that as of this episode.
Actually, Moneyball is free on Tubi right now.
Dude, watch it for free.
I'm watching it for free. I've paid for it before. I paid for it when it was in the theater, when theaters were still a thing. So I paid it. I get to watch it for free now.
Okay. Well, I'm going to watch that. I need to refresh my memory on that movie. I mean, I know all about it, but I just want to go through the movie details. Interestingly enough, I was going to add a segment to our show. I'm going to ask you what you're watching right now from a TV standpoint. So I'm glad you brought that up. Okay. So back to this conversation before I get into what I'm watching. So you're right. And in this example of my son's team, so let me just frame this up for the audience. Typically what happens is in youth baseball, right, you go through a set of months where you start in January, and when you're in the East Coast, you start training inside facilities just because it's so inclement out. There's a few places you can play inside, but it's just not worth it. And then you start kind of forcing the issue in, as of the date of this, we're in April, and March you push, April you start to really push, and then becomes mid-April, late April, and then bang, it's on a steamroll till about July. And then you take a few months off, and then most teams go back for a little segment in late summer, early fall. Our team plays football, so we go through a different direction. So there's a huge drop off in expectations because, okay, the season ends, they battle, they play 70 games, win championships, tournaments, they battle all the time, up and down, travel everywhere. But when you get back into the groove, there's kind of an expectation of an imprint of what you left with. And I think part of the problem in this example was the fact that there was no exit interview done. And then there was no kind of okay, well, what are you doing in the interim? And then there was no check-in about what everybody's been doing. And then you set the expectations. And when everybody's not where they were, people's perspective shifts, right? Because this wasn't their first tournament. They were not performing accordingly. So again, to your point, if our audience is out there in a position of influence and or has a personal or professional conflict resolution, a conflict, set the expectations early, right? Create the framework. If you already find yourself too far down the road, be humble, reestablish the framework, and then apply yourself. Right. At some point, somebody has to move off of the emotion, whatever chemical thing is happening in here between the ears and the eye, behind the eyes, between the ears. You got to let your chemical processes pass through and go to end game. If you want to be mad just to be mad, fine. But if you want to actually do something and move the needle in some part of your life forward and not be stagnant in brackish water, then you're going to have to say, listen to what Jake just said and say, wow, I need to establish the new normal. I need to establish what's going on. I can't just push and pull and fight, right? I've got to establish what's going on. So in my mind, when I rewind this example, everyone should have taken a pan back and realized we hadn't had a weekend experience like we just had and we needed one. And there should be some expectations. And I'm going to earmark that come the end of this season and bring it up to, you know, the powers that be. I'm not a coach. I just help out. It is a great coaching environment. Don't get me wrong. So in terms of conflict resolution, if our audience is struggling to find a good conflict resolution, I've got the perfect idea for you. If you have conflicts with being seen and being high up on the know, like, and trust factor, let me recommend something for you that Jake and I created along with our friend Peter. It's called Boardroom Battleground. It's a TV show where we put entrepreneurs on with a fractional board of directors, basically a team that helps you get known, get liked, get trusted through broadcasting you to millions of people, helping you share your story, helping you send your message to the world, showcasing you as a superstar that you are. What am I missing, Jake?
You're really not. It comes right down to it. And I love the fact that the segue is, are you, you know, that's conflict with yourself. That's just conflict with yourself, that you're choosing to be not seen. You're choosing to be invisible. You are, you know, but you have the choice. It is absolutely your choice. You can be seen. And you can find us at total-disruption.com. Check out all of the things that we do, including Battleground and Inner Circle and the Guild and all the stuff and all the things that we're putting out. Subscribe to our mailing list. Get the magazine that we're putting out. That's another piece that's coming out. Yeah, or look, hit the QR code, takes you right there. Absolutely, it's right over there. It's right.
Those of you that are on audio and you're seeing this, just scan this QR code, jump into our ecosystem. It doesn't cost to apply. We're not going to spam you. We're not selling anything. What we want to do is we're two honest people that have partnered with four more honest people that just want to promote people so that you, the world, can see your impact. We can take and make you the superstar that you should be. Get you the notoriety.
Here's what I want to say about that one. Like, a lot of people look at this and they've asked, and I don't think we've really cleared it up. They're like, well, why would you bring, you know, you guys are good as you are. Why would you bring four more coaches in there? Together, we're great. You're right. Michael and I are good. Absolutely true. We're good as we are. But with six of us, we're great. So what's keeping you? What's keeping you from having a bigger group, to joining a conglomerate, to joining a force to be reckoned with, to join that? You know, we're going to do great together. You can do great. Like, you can do good by yourself.
Working with the dream team is definitely awesome. I mean, I'm a fan and we get to work with these awesome people. So what we want to do here is also talk about, maybe that's not for you. The change makers wanted, you know, listen, if you just want to jump into our ecosystem and figure out how we can help you directly, here's another one for you, is the Guild. Just snap down below, check out the QR code, or go to total-disruption.com with the dash symbol. Come check us out, right? All right, shameless plugs are over.
Shameless plugs are never over if you're in business.
No, you're never over. I'm going to roll that thing 100 times so somebody goes. All right, so let me just break from the conversation for a second. I am totally watching right now. I'm watching Bosch Legacy. Now, if you've never checked out Bosch on Prime, don't sleep on that. We get no endorsement from Amazon. We have no affiliation with this product, service, any of the people involved in the production whatsoever. When I watch Bosch Legacy, because, you know, we're on TV and we do TV type things, the way the story is told through editing and the way the actors are connected, you get a lot of pieces of information out of that show just on how it resolves to life. I know it's scripted. I know they're books. But still, don't sleep on that show, Jake. If you're not watching Bosch Legacy, like, if you want to get that Hollywood, California feel, one of the characters is the background. So if you ever want to take a little mini vacation, Bosch Legacy's for you. All right. So as I'm inspired now, let's give some strategy. All right. I find myself in an argument with you, Mike, you're not pulling your weight. Jake, you're being overzealous. Our director of operations, Chris, is not pulling her weight. She's too offensive. I don't know. You sent an email to somebody that's they're cranky about. Let's say, what are we doing? How would you resolve that? You annoy somebody. You're still doing business with them. It's not me where you can call up and go, hey, what are we talking about here? And we just kind of back and forth it a little bit, and we surround our, we kind of, we're like, oh shit, he's right, you know? So how do you do it? Let's coach.
You just said it, man. You just 100% said it. So I'm gonna back it up a little bit here. So first I want to tell the audience, I'm going to be clear when I tell the audience, listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth right now.
No.
Text message and email are delivery systems. They are not communication methods. If you are hiding behind keyboard courage and you're trying to communicate well through either email or text message, you are failing. And the reason for that is because the person reading it is going to read it based on the state they're in. Your intentionality may not be taken into that. Two people can read a book, same exact book. It's going to piss one person off and the other person is going to cry from sheer joy because it's where they are at the time when they read it. So get clear on the fact that email and text messages, they're junk, right? They're a delivery system. Send documents. They're just with her. But Mike was right where he said it. And he said, well, you can't just call me and work it out. Bull. You need to call them and work it out. You've got to call and have, you literally need to talk to the people. We are in a very.
We know somebody like that. We know this person that hides behind emails and just rips. It's like, oh God, stop it. I wish you'd stop doing that.
It's such a waste of energy, guys. Like the best, we're in a massive, huge technology in universe. Everything that's going on. I'm actually speaking on a panel here in a couple of weeks about the metaverse of technology. And it's literally about, it's reprogramming again. It's literally talking about all of the different methodologies with which we can communicate through. There's only one that still works, that actually works consistently. And it's when we're actually communicating, like even right now, like Mike and I can have a communication right now because we can look at each other. We can tell by body language. We can tell by eye movement. We can tell by tonality and expressionism how the other one is reacting to what we're saying. We can have active communication. You can't do that in text message. And I don't care how many emojis or how good you are at it. You can't do it. Like that's being a chicken. Plain and simple, the best conflict management, because we aren't even at resolution, we're at conflict management. You have got to get face to face with it. You have got to get belly to belly with it, and you've got to have the conversation. And Mike said it earlier, you need to be humble about it. Like show up with some humility and come to the table with, help me understand. I need some, can you give me some clarity on that? Come from a place of, this is where the coaching piece comes in of ask the questions. What's going on with you? How, what caused this? What did you try? What didn't work? What's going to work now? Ask the questions and not just to respond. Ask the questions for genuine, I want to know. I want to know so that I can apply that knowledge later. So like that's where I go with that of like so much conflict right now is occurring because somebody misunderstood something that somebody else said or wrote or texted. I mean, I made a post on social media the other day that was a horrible dad joke. And I texted it to Mike too. And somebody, and it was about cookies. There was literally a dad joke about cookies. And somebody posted on my post that it was offensive to them that I was picking on my wife's cookies. That's not what that was at all.
Are you serious? How soft are we, man? Come on.
And it wasn't that they were looking for a fight. They were just in a space. They read it from the state in which they were in. and it caused them some angst.
They were just, it's like defending a rock. It's like my pet rock. Are you serious? Somebody's that soft? I mean, listen, I get it, but I guess they don't know your wife. I mean, she would, you know, probably put him in a slingshot, shoot him at you if you know what I mean. You know, like,
that's it. Like, it was, there was, you know, God bless her. I mean, my wife is a physical therapist assistant, and if I didn't have her on staff, I'd be crippled in a ditch somewhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, she keeps moving. Send somebody.
I didn't hire my wife. Don't get me wrong. That's the longstanding joke. See, there you go. It's like, how's up? But the fact is, you know, she does an amazing job at keeping me healthy. Does an amazing job at keeping me healthy when I could easily crash my own bus. Super, super easy. Like, she makes sure we're eating the right things. You know, she's challenging me on exercise, asks me the questions, am I drinking enough water? She's a great healthcare professional, and she brings that home with her, and I'm grateful for it. So, and we're dessert people. Dude, we're dessert people. I like sugar, I'm not gonna lie. But, you know, so she's trying to make healthy cookies and do some healthy options for things. And she put flax in the cookies because she had some flax flour. And the texture was a little different. And I just happened to notice. And I'm like, did you put flax in here? And so that's where the joke came from. Like, I created.
It tastes like mortar.
Yeah. They were great cookies. I ate them without hesitation. No problems. And so I made kind of a joke about it because I was in a dad joke kind of mode. And somebody got mad about it. Somebody got mad about it.
Listen, man, you know, everybody's a little soft, in my opinion, sometimes. I mean, it's just kind of the way it goes.
So let's play that through. Let's play that through, because we can have that opinion, and that's our opinion of somebody might be a little soft when they're taking that. And so let's assume that's true. Let's assume because I've done it. You and I have both done it. I have texted you something that had no context. Like, boy, did I set that up. I text you something or email you something with zero backstory, zero context, and you are busy driving, working on your heavy days that you're running hard and you got to get to the kids' baseball games. How, you know, does it annoy you or piss you off in the moment sometimes if you get something without context?
It does, but I'm always in a space of out of context. So then I back it up and I say, "Oop, wait a minute, is this me or is this him?" So, and then
there's the discipline. That's why I bring it up. So there's the discipline right there. And there's the spot. And this is, Mike has talked about this several times in different episodes that we've had. You have that, the power of the pause. It's something you intentionally do 3 times a day. You stop. You stop everything around you. And like, it's the power of the pause. And this is one of those spots from a coaching perspective. And that's why I brought it up, because I know you do it. Like, so from a coaching perspective, if I'm in a hot mood, responding is a bad idea. That is going to create conflict, because somebody may just simply be texting me a very simple question. It just happens to not have please, thank you, and a lot of fluffy bunnies on the end of it. But it's a, you know, somebody just simply said, I need to know this. If I'm in a bad mood, now I need to not respond. I need to take the moment. I need to play the pause. Count to 10, ask the question, whatever your thing is, but you've got to play that pause. And that, I see that as a critical factor in this conflict management, conflict resolution space, is not jumping. Not just jumping straight to it.
Well, you know, you waste a lot of time that way too. I mean, there's a time for critical thinking, hyper-reactivity, and when you're mature enough to realize you're in flux and you're busy. There are several times I have internal arguments for hours in my own head. And then I'm working out a process, right? I'm doing it now. I have to talk to another one of my kids' coaches, and I'm rehearsing my temperance for wondering what's going on in a certain scenario, and it seems petty to other people, but it's metaphoric for everybody. You know, when you're paying money and you're going to places and you're making efforts and you're bending over backwards, and you know, you don't feel it's being, it has not me, but it has to do with my son, but where's the way out, right? I'll probably end up talking about this on the other episodes, how you get out from underneath a rock. Are you even underneath a rock, and how do you get out from underneath it? What are the metrics? So anyway, I don't want to digress too much, but on the conflict resolution, man, I think we covered all of it, right? I think we nailed it, right? We're getting low on time. I think it's time to kick this audience loose. Anything else in closing, Jake?
Nope. I think exactly what we've talked about. Make sure you're playing the pause. And then Mike said something super important. I want to leave it with that. He was rehearsing it. He says some really important stuff a lot. He was rehearsing how it was going to go, like setting himself up for the right conversation. Be careful you don't set yourself up for the wrong conversation, guys, because a lot of times we start fights in our head that don't actually have to be a fight. Rehearse the management side, not the resolution side. So that's where Mike's starting in this space of, it's going to be a challenging conversation. I've got to have my talking points. I've got to have my temperance moderated. So I'd finish you with there, guys.
Amen. All right. For Jake Clendenning, I'm Mike Liberace. Thanks for tuning in. Now it's your turn.